Father, we are richly looked upon. And I'm not just talking about we here at Longmeadow Church of Brethren. I'm talking about those who have accepted your Son. Period. We are richly looked upon. It doesn't mean that life is easy. It doesn't mean that everything happens the way we want it. It doesn't mean any of the things that you think it should mean, because we deserve it not. And yet through the death of your Son Jesus, we are richly looked upon. We thank you, Father. We thank you for hearing us as we pray. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that dwells here right now and that goes in front of us, Father. We ask your forgiveness of our sins. And we still sin. We ask you to forgive us where we have fallen short. We ask you to lift us up in those moments when we need it, Father. We ask for prayer for Kathy and for the Jensen family. We're thankful for that. We ask prayer for the neighbors that belong to the heart of Jackie. And for those that ain't here today, Father, they may be out for sickness, or they may be out and traveling, and for those that are traveling that we know of, Father, we ask for your continued blessing and mercy upon them. We ask that you would lift up Joanne as she is going through the therapy from the hip. We're blessed to know that your work, that your hand is touching Hazel, Father. We thank you. We thank you for beauty. The beauty of a birthday, the beauty of an anniversary. Those are not just days. Those are moments in time that you set forth. And we would do well to never forget that. I stand in awe of you. The words of the song said that. I, we, us, stand in awe of you. Do we want to know what you look like? Look on the altar. Do we want to know what you feel like? Walk out and breathe in the air. Do we want to know if you're there, Father? You're around us everywhere. We're thankful, Father, that it is finally starting to happen, that there are, even though movies that are getting out into public eye, that are not seen as just craziness, but talking about what we already know, that heaven is for real. Pray that movie continues to change lives. Father, we thank you for the simplest joy. We thank you when the prayers that we keep between each other, between ourselves, between you and us, Father, kept in our heart, is still answered, whether it's written down in a paper on the prayer box or just in that moment of quietness. Father, bind us together, please. Let us not forget why we're here this morning, and why one day we'll be together forever in heaven. Reminding us the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Philippians chapter 3. How many people have looked in the bulletin and went, what in the world is he talking about? When the sermon title is, Consider the Snail. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 through 14. And if there ain't been more than one example of what this sermon's about today, then you need to pay close attention. Verse 10, Philippians chapter 3, Paul writing to the church at Philippi. His job there was to lift up that church. And so we hear these words, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. And so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead, verse 12, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me homeward in Christ Jesus. Consider the snail. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We are glad to be brought here together where we can meet unharmed, where we can share our joy, our concern, where we can glean from the words that will be spoken today from you that will strengthen us in our walk, that we will go from here knowing it was good to have been here. Father, thank you for these moments. Let us be fully in them now. In Jesus' name, all of his children said, amen. I had recently, this past week, I had an encounter with myself. And I have come to the understanding that when I have an encounter with myself, I am my own worst enemy. I'm bad because I am two halves of one person. I am the same person that walks in to work in the morning saying, I'm glad to be on a diet. And at lunchtime, I walk into the Golden Corral going, where is the chocolate fountain? It puts me in a bad way, although I've been staying away from that. I am my own worst enemy. And this past week, it was one of those days. It was truly one of those days where I had forgotten everything that I talk about on Sunday morning. Work is what it is. I love it. It's stressful. It's tense. It's high energy. It suits me just fine. It keeps me going in those moments. But when things aren't going my way, I get a little frustrated. I guess you could say I might be just a wee tad bit impatient at times. And that day I was impatient. I had to go out to a job site to do a follow-up on a job site. We had done the work. We had finished up. One of our jobs is to go out and do a follow-up. Make sure everything's done. Make sure the material's in the right place to be picked up, the leftover material. Make sure everything's taken care of. And this particular job site was back a one-lane road, dead-end one-lane road, where CSX railroad tracks had two sets of tracks crossing this road. When you turned onto the road, right there were the tracks. Everything you needed was on the other side of the tracks. That's where the job was. And guess what was stopped on the tracks? A train. Now, I had set my day out. I was going to be here. I was going to do this. Then go here. I had to preview a job. I had to meet with a customer who claimed we tore up her yard. And on and on and on. I had it all laid out right there. I pull up and there's such a train on the tracks. Now, normally, that puts me in a pretty good mood. But there's one problem with these railroad tracks. They're main lines. And if you stand at those railroad tracks and you look, you can see forever that way, and you can see forever that way. These are main line CSX tracks. And there was no locomotive to be in sight. But there was tons of cars that way and tons of cars that way. And there wasn't no sound coming from those cars. That meant they were switching out. And I sat. And I sat. And I sat, and I sat, and I started fuming. And there's a number on the railroad track sign that you can call in case of emergency. I'm going to find out what's going on. Don't they know Paul Letterman's trying to cross these things? And then my brain called up to me and said, don't do that, dummy. So I pulled the truck over off the edge of the road, back on this little narrow road, back in the middle of nowhere, all by myself. I am sitting there just fuming. I whip out my laptop computer. I got paperwork to catch up on. And I'm typing away, and I'm looking around, and I'm trying to think of what I got to do. And I look over, and there's a bunch of bushes. And on the bush, is a snail. That stopped me dead in my tracks. No pun intended. Everything else went to the side. I sat looking at this little tiny snail, and it was beautiful. He had a tan shell with brown racing stripes. I thought, that's crazy. You never see snails like that out here. At least I don't. All you ever get is slugs. Yeah. I don't like slugs. Now, I know snails can be a pest, but they are beautiful. And so I sat looking at him through the truck window, and I said, I wonder if he's dead. I got out of the truck. I'm over there fooling around and carrying on, and I kept looking at him. He wasn't dead. But he was all out in the middle of nowhere, and I was stunned for a moment by the simplicity of the snail. I fell magically under his spell, and I sat there for a minute, and I said, Father, what's the word here? Something's coming. I hadn't even began to think about a sermon yet. Something's going, and I heard the words, consider the snail. How many people consider the snail? Now you're going to. You see, there are different kinds of snails. There's land snails, there's sea snails, there's tree snails, there's that snail. But I read up on the land snails because I want to know about them. Do you know that land snails move at 1 millimeter per second? Do you know how slow that is? That is slow. But they keep moving unless they're provoked into attack or unless they're resting. And their one determination is they have to keep moving. And they can't let the little things stop them. If they get to the end of a leaf, they just turn around and start back down the other side. It might take them a week to go up the leaf and come back down, but they keep going. There might be something land on the leaf. They have to stop and wait, but they keep going. They use that foot as a muscle, and it undulates like that. And that's how they move along. I am so fascinated with these things now. I know they're garden pests. Don't start on me with that. Everybody wants to run out and get them out of there. But they have their place. And they have everything they need. They carry their house on their back. Who in this room ever saw the original 1967 with Rex Harrison, Dr. Doolittle? Right? Who wanted to ride in a great pink snail? Well, I did. Every time that thing came on, I never understood why I couldn't find a big pink snail and ride in it. The snail is not built for anything but doing what he's supposed to do at that time. He can close himself up in that house and protect himself from predators, for the most part. He can stay suspended in the same place for hours waiting. They can crawl over knife-edge blades with that undulating foot and never hurt themselves. They are designed to do what they do. They are designed because everything for them is slow and careful and calculated. They are designed never to become frustrated. Never to let the world get a hold of them. How do they eat? Well, they don't have mouths. You've all seen them. One minute they're a glob and the next minute there's stuff sticking out of every direction. They use their teeth to grind away at their food. Much like a set of razor sharp saws. And it's just nice and slow. As a matter of fact, the biggest snails are giant land snails. And they can get to be about that big. And they say that if you get them in a quiet room and put them on top of a leaf and listen to them, you can hear them grinding at the leaf as they're eating. I have got to hear that. I'm going to go get a giant land snail. Except that you're not allowed to own them. And you have to go to South America to get them. So I guess that ain't going to happen anytime soon. They're simple. They live to be in their shell, and they live to take care of what they have to do at that moment. They reach themselves on toward their goal every moment. I sat there looking at him for the longest time, and I said, man, I've got to bring you and show you to everybody at church. Where'd he go? Here he is. I went out and crawled through the bushes, and I plucked him up out of there. We had to put him on some new leaves today. And I brought him in. Now, I'm going to turn him loose later on. Oh, he's up on the side. See him? He's right in there.
That's the snail I saw. I went out and pulled him off the bush along with some leaves, and I put him in here, and I had him on my hand for a while, and he crawled around and he kept looking at me, and I got to understand the simplicity of Jesus Christ and being a Christian by considering the snail. Amen. It is not the fact that you're not going to get there. It's the fact that you keep going there. You want to summon this up into one word? Determination. We often are lost in the thought that what we do doesn't amount to anything. That when we struggle, we don't understand why. I've talked to countless and countless people about Jesus Christ. Do I get discouraged because when I'm talking to them and I'm telling them they need to know Christ and they need to know Him the right way, that they don't seem to get it? And I'm the preacher. If you're going to listen to anybody, you should listen to me, right? Jesus Christ ministered for 3 years. He didn't walk down and grab you by the nose. He didn't pull your ear and yell in your ear. He just simply said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Quite frankly, I'll put it to you in simple translation. You're not going to heaven if you don't believe in me. I was sent here for that purpose. And this is what He did every single day. Day after day, minute after minute, no matter how tired, no matter how strung out on not being able to eat He was, no matter how frustrated and He did get with the people around Him, He still continued the message. He still continued to strive for what He said the Father put Him there for. The snail has no choice. He must eat and he must live to protect himself as best he can, and he must always move forward. You get where I'm coming from? Say amen. I sat there looking at the snail, and I'm just enthralled with him, and suddenly I heard this. What was that noise? I forgot I was sitting next to the railroad tracks. And I went, all right, God, okay, I got the message. The trains went, bang, 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 because they took the slack up in the couplers, and they started moving forward. And I was like, all right, my day's going to get forward. And I'm telling you, that car moved up one car and stopped. I went on to the next job. I got the message. The message is Paul writing to the church of Philippians. In these words, go back to your Bibles. Paul writing to the church in Philippians is, you're reaching that goal. You will never attain that goal if you don't reach it. And the time that you reach that goal will be when you're home. But you have to continue to reach for it. Consider the snail. Consider the determination. People get determined. Sometimes they get determined in the wrong direction. Some of them say, there ain't no way, no how, no I'm done with that person. I'm done with this situation. I have looked him in the eyes. I have looked her in the eyes. I don't know what else to do. You don't. Paul Harvey had a great say. When asked about his radio career and what would happen when he needed to have that secret of his success, Paul Harvey very simply said, I get up when I fall down. I get up when I fall down. That's it. I get up when I fall down. Many, many years ago, as a young boy, traipsing around in the shop, running around between the legs of my father, grandfather, uncles, and a million of them, when they'd be in there working on a truck or a car or an old tractor or a gas engine that wouldn't start or whatever, I was always in the middle of everything. Little boy, little, 6, 7 years old. One time I walked over to one that was running and touched the spark plug. Let me explain to you how that'll wake up a 7-year-old boy. I ran out of that shop like somebody had pinched me, screaming. And my grandfather saw it and caught me by the arm. And he brought me back in the shop. I'm never going near them things again. I'm never going near another tractor again. I'm never going to touch them things again. And he stood me in front of that thing, flop. And he said, boy, don't turn from your destiny. How many times have I been shocked since then? Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4. Carry the 1. Multiply times a million. We were putting the track together this Saturday. And my uncle kept saying, "Now you're going to test the mag, right? You're going to give me the enjoyment of seeing that mag get you, aren't you? You're going to test the mag, ain't you?" "No, I'm not going to test the mag." "Aren't you going to test?" "No, I'm not going to test the mag. I know that when we get ready to test the mag, I'm going to test the mag. And you know what's going to happen? I'm going to get shot. It's coming. I can't turn away from it. When I get down, I get back up. When I am looking for the determination I need to keep going, that's as simple as considering the snail." Paul, writing in Philippians, says what? Not that I have already obtained this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold. What is he talking about? Paul is explaining to the church at Philippi. He makes a statement in there that a lot of people, when they're reading those verses, gloss over. Back up a couple verses and follow this with me carefully. Verse 10. "You need to know this. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings." What's that mean, brothers and sisters? That means that with the good comes the bad, with the pain comes the joy. But in order to experience it, you have to keep going. Regardless, you have to accept the fact that it's never going to be easy. You have to understand that for the 3 years that Christ was here and the way he died for us, we want to share in the fellowship of his sufferings. Why? So we can talk to that person. So we know what Christ experienced, so we can be the example that he wants us to be. Paul, writing, continues on, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection of the dead. Paul says, "I have not attained this yet." He's explaining to the church at Philippi, just like I would be explaining to you right now, you have to keep going. Maybe you're the organist who sits down and thinks, "Is anybody listening?" Maybe you're the person that cleans up after the meal on Sunday morning. Does anybody even notice? Maybe you're someone who comes into church and sits down on Sunday morning and wonders if we know you're there. We do. You are. It is that determination that keeps you going. What if Christ had said no? Determination's a funny thing, isn't it? There's a story about a small town way out in the Midwest somewhere. And a man in there wanted to be a journalist. He wanted to become a star reporter in this little tiny town that maybe there was 300 or 400 people. Well, one day the dam upstream in the little town broke and flooded the whole town. He thought, "This is a great time for a story, isn't it?" And so he got in his boat. He was determined to get the story. And he started rowing out and he looked and he found a lady sitting on the roof of their little house. And so he pulled up, tied the boat off to the chimney, and got out and went up and sat down beside her. And they started watching the things that floated by. And she'd point and go, "Now there's a story." And he'd say, "No, that's not a story." "There comes a story by." And he goes, "No, that's not a story." And they talked. And about the time a hat came floating down. And they watched the hat come slowly by. And the hat got just about past the house. And suddenly the hat turned around and went this way. Back up the water. And the journalist watched it. It got up a little ways there. Suddenly it turned around and went down this way. And it got to the same spot again. It turned around and come back. And the journalist looks at the lady and says, "Now that's a story." And she goes, "That ain't a story." He said, "What do you mean?" She says, "That's my husband Hayward. He said he was going to mow this grass come Hades or high water." That's determination, ain't it? That is to consider the snail. In our life, in our world, we are pushed and buffed about by everything out there. We find ourselves in places where we become stopped and we wonder why.
Paul says, take hold. Paul says to the church of Philippi, take hold. Go back to your verses. Again, in verse 12, not that I have already obtained all this. Paul, the great preacher, having gone through everything that he had still not obtained everything that he knew Christ had to offer. Or have I already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not yet consider myself to have taken hold, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. We need to remind ourselves. We need to not let ourselves get away from the simple fact we have to do this. And it's not even have to if you consider the fact that He died to save you. You want to do this. In its simplest form, we're determined to never let the word of Jesus Christ fall away. Ever. Right? I just want you to think of simple things and consider the snail. Determination. Simply wanting Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, You put everything in front of us, everything in our life, for a reason. You have established times and points and dates that we may never understand until we're at home with You. But what we do need to know is this simple moment. That we press on. That if we get to the end of the leaf, we turn around and start back the other way. That You have designed us specifically with a purpose. That You have given us Jesus Christ, and You have given us a Savior, a salvation to which we should shout from the rooftops. That in those moments when we feel stuck, that we can't cross and get on to our next moment, we're there for a reason. And we need to stop and consider that. Not as something that stops us from moving. Not as something that holds us off to the side. But something that holds us in place for the moment while You prepare what is next. So that we may press on. That we may fellowship with You. That we may know Jesus Christ. That we may be reminded of His sufferings. That we may work all that much harder with everything that we can give. That regardless of whether you look into the eyes of someone and you say, God loves you. That you remind us that when we preach the word, when we talk about Christ, and it doesn't seem like it's getting in, that's fine. We don't know what the next plan is. We press on. Just like Your Son. Just like that great example. Father, hold us close to You in those moments when we feel like we're failing, when we feel like we've slipped away. And remind us of the great determination of the snail. Moving slowly, but moving. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you have a particular need this morning, if you need lifting up, the prayer bench is open. If you need to be brought forward, if you want to give your heart back to Christ, if that's what's weighing on you, today is your day. This is your moment. This could be your time. And to each and every one of you sitting out there, I would remind you that at 6:30 on Wednesday night in this very church, we will be praying to start the month off. God bless you.
Please stand and turn to page 486.